Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Thursday begins right here. We thank all of you for making time for us. We'll be here for the next couple of hours, a number of really exciting guests, and your phone calls. Let's begin with some headlines. What about this Alabama roster? Youngest ever. But could it be the best team Nick Saban's ever had? I don't know. I just decided to say that. It's always possible, right? A lot of conversation about money and football and how much everyone is spending. And looks like Georgia getting their money's worth. They've spent more than anybody else, and they have two national championships to boot. Hendon Hooker is trending in the first round. The injury at the end of last season has not derailed him, and you will hear from him live here in just a couple of hours. And Blake Topmeyer talking about all the new OCs and what impact they could be having and what it's all about. Blake Topmeyer, our leadoff guest here on a Thursday before Good Friday. Thanks again for being here, Blake. Thank you for joining us. Always great to catch up. Thanks for the time. Let's talk about that headline we just shared, the new coordinators in the SEC and what it could mean. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I think it's interesting, you know, when there's a wave of new coordinators in any conference, the SEC, there's 10 new ones this year. There's always talk about how you know, how much impact those so-called gurus are going to have. And, you know, I've always thought that most coaches would really rather have a top-shelf quarterback than you know, one of the brightest coordinator minds if they had to choose. But ideally, you'd like both, right? And I do think that all the new coordinators in the conference this year are going to be, you know, one of the top top storylines in the SEC this season. And you start with Alabama. I mean, Tommy Reese, you know, coming over from Notre Dame. And I think his arrival is interesting on multiple fronts because, one, he has to develop Alabama's next quarterback. And in this case, the heir is not apparent. You know, in many years when Alabama's transitioning quarterbacks, we've known who the next man up is. You know, Tommy Reese has to determine whether that's Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson. And then not only that, you know, we've heard Nick Saban now talk at length about finding more balance in his offense, getting more back to old school Alabama, I guess more of the bully ball type days. Tommy Reese is obviously versed in something, you know, more similar to that with his time at Notre Dame. And I think that is going to become one of the top storylines of the season, Paul. If Alabama, you know, gets back to its dominant ways, it's going to be, look at this great coordinator Saban hired. He's done it again. If they don't get it solved, it's going to be, why did Nick Saban think he could win by playing the hits, by turning to a pass style? And why could he not get more of a big name coordinator? So I really start with Tommy Reese in this coordinator conversation.
And let me ask you about that, Blake, before we move on, because I was talking to somebody a couple hours ago, and he said, "Do you think Nick Saban is going back to his roots? Do you think Nick Saban is doing, in other words, because he hasn't won a title in 2 years, he's trying something different? Explain the Reese hire philosophically, other than he was available and he was ready for a change with Bill O'Brien, even though he took another job, because it seems like we're all trying to make a lot out of this.
Well, I think a couple things. We've seen Nick Saban in the past pivot styles when he sees other programs having success. And I think it is true that, Georgia's had a lot of success using the playbook that, Alabama was using at, the height of its dynastic run. I mean, Georgia, particularly last season, was very, very balanced on offense, was very much, I think you could say, pro style. And in a lot of ways, I think they did remind you of, those old Alabama teams. But I also think part of this is stems from personnel, right? I mean, I think part of the reason, Alabama went more to put your quarterback in, the gun and let him sling it all over the yard the past few years is because it had the personnel to do so. I mean, you know, when we think about the quarterbacks they cycled through from Tua to Mac Jones and, all the skill position talent Mac Jones had around him to then two seasons with Bryce Young. I mean, I think the past two seasons, Alabama's personnel was designed, or maybe not designed, but the result of it was your best chance of winning games was keeping the ball in Bryce Young's hands and letting him make plays back there out of the shotgun. They don't have Bryce Young in their program anymore. They don't have Tua in their program anymore. And so I think what they think they can hang their hat on is their backfield and their offensive line. Now, I don't know that the offensive line has as much depth as what Alabama did in its heyday. And it's certainly going to be reliant on a little bit of youth. But I think they feel like they got some talented guys up front. And so I do think part of this is based around the personnel they have.
Blake, the next question, all we know is optics. So, you know, the optics may be kind of bizarre with Bobby Petrino and Jimbo Fisher based on what we saw a couple of weeks ago. But deep down, what do you sense and what are you hearing in relation to what that is going to look like when we get to the season?
Yeah, you know, there was all this stir a couple of weeks ago about Jimbo's first comments on Bobby Petrino, and Jimbo was hesitant to say, he reluctantly finally did, that Bobby Petrino will in fact be calling plays this fall, which, I mean, duh, right? That's why he's there. And I think that a lot of the interpretation of Jimbo's comments were that, this has been a rocky start to this relationship. That's not really the way I interpreted it. I interpreted it as someone, Jimbo Fisher, who we know has an enormous ego, not really wanting to admit that his offense was flawed last year and contributed to hamstringing A&M, and that Bobby Petrino is here to brighten the offensive outlook at A&M. I think, you know, Jimbo had a hard time admitting that in that presser, but that doesn't necessarily, for me, diminish what I think, you know, Bobby Petrino, the impact he might be able to have at A&M. I still think this is a good hire. I still think this is a hire that brightens my outlook for what Texas A&M might be capable of this year. I'm not so much worried about the Jimbo's comments or a rocky start to a relationship. I don't know that I buy all that. What I would be more concerned about with A&M is, what's the ceiling on quarterback Connor Wigman? We saw some good, we saw some bad from him last year. What you would expect, you know, with a freshman quarterback. But can Bobby Petrino, get him to a much higher ceiling? If he can, we know A&M has talent. And that was maybe clouded by the fact that they went 5-7 last year. But we do know they have talent. I think they needed to get an offensive coordinator in there, take over the play calling. They've done that, but I also think they need the quarterback to be able to orchestrate this whole thing. And for me, that's sort of the lingering question at A&M is what is the ceiling for Connor Wigman with Bobby Petrino?
Which leads me to another question about something you've written recently, and that who has the best quarterback in the SEC and why that is important. You mentioned Wigman from A&M. He's one of them. So where are we right now from a QB standpoint?
I think it's a great debate, much, much different of a debate than this time last year. Hendon Hooker and became an all-conference player. Stetson Bennett finished a great career. But, you know, if we would have had this conversation this time last year, the debate would have been open and shut in about 2 seconds, right? We would have said Bryce Young's the best quarterback in this conference. But now as these stars depart, Young and Hooker and Bennett and others,
It reopens the debate this year for who is the best quarterback in the SEC. I would lean toward KJ Jefferson, the multi-year starter at Arkansas. I think he gets overshadowed sometimes. I don't know exactly why, but I think he does. He's a bulldozer with an arm, but he's such a good, strong runner. I think sometimes people forget about how efficient he is as a passer. This is a guy last two seasons has completed 68% of his passes. I think there are debates for several other quarterbacks, whether that be, Jaden Daniels. We know Will Rogers has been a stat stuffer for Mississippi State. Maybe you like the Carson Beck transition at Georgia, or maybe you were encouraged by Joe Milton in the Orange Bowl at Tennessee. I think it is a good debate. I would lean toward KJ Jefferson. And it's cliche to say, having a great quarterback impacts your success. But when you look at it, Paul, I went back and figured in the last 17 seasons, teams that produced the first-team all-conference quarterback, first-team all-SEC, in that 17-year span, they won 85% of their games. Four of those teams won national championships. 15 of the 17 finished ranked in the top 25. So we can debate who the best SEC quarterback is, but I tell you, whoever it winds up being, their team, you can bet, is going to have a lot of success this season.
Fascinating stat there by Blake Topmeyer, who we always enjoy visiting with. Thank you very much, Blake. Great start to the Thursday show. We're off and running. Your phone calls around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. I appreciate all of you being here. John starts us off in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to call in, talk about Pendo real quick. My personal opinion why he's moving up the charts is really less about his physical play and really more about who he is as a character. Not that I know a whole lot about NFL and their whole screening process, but I know they ask a lot of personal questions and they really dig into your character and who you are. And if there's integrity flaws, they usually stay away from people like that. So I'm thinking he's really excelling in the interviews when he's having conversations with owners and GMs, and he's making a big impression on them personally, and they feel he's a great leader, and that is what's moving him up the charts. And the football part of that, it's part of it. But,
let me agree with part of what you said. You are correct. Your character matters in the NFL, but you better be a good quarterback, or they don't care what character
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
I think he's moving up because I think he was completely and totally undervalued, and I think the ACL got everybody off him. We'll talk to Hendon Hooker a little bit later on, so we'll have more on that then. Let's check in with Bob, who is up next. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Bob, thank you. We're doing great.
Hey, I caught the tail end of your show yesterday, and y'all were comparing Bear Bryant and Nick Saban.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, it's been two generations since the Bear left. And I said, you know, these people don't understand the culture, how people like me, I was born in 57, mm-hmm. was raised here in Alabama during the Bear Bryant era. Paul, back in 1969, I was in the sixth grade. I used to look around the classroom, and I'd see a kid wearing an Auburn jersey, and I, true story, and I'd say to myself, well, they must have been out of Alabama jerseys at Kmart, so he had to buy them an Auburn jersey.
And well, Bobby, I had a friend who was an Auburn fan growing up, and she told me that she was the only Auburn fan on the bus, and she said the Alabama people, I mean, this is like same grade you're in, would make fun of her.
Oh yeah.
There's no way that could have happened in Alabama. Could it have?
Oh yeah, all the time. Oh, hey, okay. If someone was an Auburn fan, you'd just blow them off.
The girl hated me because I was in Alabama.
Well, they. You just blow off the Auburn people because they didn't understand.
That's amazing that fans would treat each other like that. That's shocking to me.
Yeah. Hey, back when I was growing up, every Sunday at 2 o'clock, the Bear Bryant show.
Right.
You ever watch the Bear Bryant show?
I caught a few editions, yes.
Hey, Paul, I had two brothers. We had to turn the antenna towards Birmingham by 2 o'clock. One would man the antenna, one stood at the corner, and one at the door, and we relayed instructions.
Hey, Bob, tell me I'm crazy here, okay? It's been 40 years, so no harm.
Yeah.
But remember when Coach Bryant would sip that Coca-Cola? Remember that?
Yes.
Why do I think there was bourbon in there?
I don't. It probably was. Hey, you wasn't bashful about it. Hey,
did you ever see Coach Bryant try to open up a bag of potato chips? He would start to pull, and it just all of a sudden the chips would fly everywhere.
Yeah. You know,
his two sponsors were Golden Flake potato chips and Coke.
Yeah, and Coca-Cola. Remember what the Bear would say every time somebody stuck somebody, what Bear would holler?
No.
Bingo.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
Oh, he did. Hey,
there was a bingo player.
I used to think, hey, when I was little,
well, somebody
I
would write
think
a book
Bear
about him. I'd like to learn more about Coach Bryant, wouldn't you, Randy? Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate all that. AC is up next, north of the border. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call, sir. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you.
Absolutely, Mr. Feinberg. I know I spoke way too fast yesterday. I was coming down. I got hyped up, man. I was coming down. So my challenge that I spoke about, I'll slow down a little bit today. NBA, NHL playoff, I'm challenging anyone out there. It's on ESPN app, and the group name is AC2023. I guess that's the best way. Now, I have a question for you. You know, I'm getting hyped up. I can't wait too long. I gotta get hyped up, dude, because I'm going for Mr. Feinbaum. USC Trojans. You know, everybody's gonna say Alabama's gonna win the championship, Georgia's to win the repeat. What about the USC Trojans? I think they might go undefeated. We might see them in the playoffs. I think Georgia's biggest threat would be USC Trojans, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm telling you, they might destroy everybody in Pac-12. They might turn to Pac-13, telling they need more teams in order to have those conference going. You know what I'm trying to say, my brother? Oh, Mr. Feinbaum, I always love you, man. You know I'm getting super hyped up because I love you way too much. The question is, do you love AC? Holla.
You know, I have to just say for a second, how gratifying it is to be loved that much. I mean, we all, right, Randy?
Sure.
We all want to be loved. I never thought the person that would love me the most would be a fast-talking 31-year-old from Hamilton, Ontario. I just never thought that would be it. But I thought it'd be somebody in my family. Mitch, Matt is up next.
Brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? By the way, AC is a moron because USC sucks. So is her defense. That's why they can never win an national championship right now. But I want to talk to you about offensive coordinators. I think Bobby Petrino was the best hire Jimbo Fisher made, and I want your opinion on his quarterback battle. I think he's stupid. Carl Williams should be the quarterback. this season and what's your thoughts? And, Paul, I got some good news to tell you before you answer all that. Me and my friend might become roommates and known for 5 years. We're not going to go live in San Antonio, but we're getting an apartment in Denton, which is a city 25 minutes away. And what's your whole thoughts on this quarterback thing? And
I think things are looking good at A&M. Thank you for the call. Dr. Mel is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you all this evening?
Mel.
Yes, sir. How are you this evening?
We're doing great.
Great, great, great. Thank you for once again allowing me to come on board. Richard Jaffe said to tell you hello, and matter of fact, he's not too far from you guys. Now he's at his summer vacation home in Asheville.
Will you tell him, Mel, that one day I hope that we all would be fortunate enough to have been as successful as Richard to have a summer home in Asheville. Where are you vacationing? We are summering in Asheville.
Yes, sir. I have a quick comment, Coach Feinbaum. You know, Coach Saban, we all, Coach Saban, yourself, man, we all cut from the same mold. We're passionate about our profession, about people. And, you know, people say, well, why did Coach Saban bring Tommy Rees from Notre Dame to Alabama? Coach Saban, I believe, has had eyes on Coach Rees for a while. And, of course, you know, Jim Kelly at LSU, and as one of the callers mentioned early in the program, that, you know, Kirby Smart took, I'm sure, some of the knowledge to Georgia, and so success there. Tommy Rees was the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame when Kelly was there. So I'm sure some of the plays, some of the fundamental plays will be remembered. So remember, Coach Saban is an extremely smart man. And, of course, he'll be 72 in October. I'll be 72 in July. But 72 for us is the new 50. Now,
I think Saban looks younger today than he did 10 years ago.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And just one other quick comment in regards to the Masters. Of course, tomorrow the Archbishop will be on.
Yes.
April has become one of my favorite months as I've gotten older. And, of course, the Masters is in full progress. And, matter of fact, there's a young man by the name of Victor Hovland. Victor's leading the tournament.
He's leading it.
I picked Victor several weeks ago.
Really?
He will win. The Scheffler will come in a close second, but those two guys will just light it up, especially
if it
rains.
Victor played with Tiger today and shot 65 opening round. Tiger came in at 74, for those of you who were wondering. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls and more great guests, including Hendon Hooker, a little bit later on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Jeff is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, you there?
I am. Thank you.
Hey, Jay Williams said he's taking Kentucky off Mount Rushmore in college basketball. What do you think about that?
Well, let's start with what is Mount Rushmore? Mount Rushmore.
The best four teams all time.
Okay. So is Kentucky
college basketball?
Is history. Kentucky still in that realm?
Well, we're number one in winning percentage all the time.
Okay.
We got number two championship.
Yeah.
Number one in Final Eight. Number one in Final Sweet 16.
Okay. And number one in the last 10 years in underachieving.
No. Last 10 years, no.
Hey,
no,
listen,
we're not.
Jeff, let me tell you this, okay? I don't want to argue about Kentucky basketball. They haven't won a national championship in 11 years, haven't been to the Final Four since 2015. They're still relevant in terms of being a brand name because they're always going to be projected in the next year's top five, and they already are. But
we're still number one. That's what I'm saying. We're number one.
But
what
you are doing is the embodiment of living in the past. And
no,
most people live in the present.
We have the number one recruiting class come in this
It doesn't matter. Kentucky has had plenty of number one recruiting classes. It's what you do with those classes. It also happens to be a rather weak class based on the experts.
Oh, well. I mean, what has Duke done lately?
Oh, I don't know. They were in the Final Four, let me think, a year ago?
One time in the last 10 years. One time the last
They've
year.
Won a national championship one. Since you've won one.
They got one in 2015. So, you know, they ain't done much more.
What else happened in 2015? Let's use a Socratic oath here for a second. What else happened in 2015, the year Duke won a national championship? Do you remember?
We should have won it all.
Yeah. You know what? I hear that a lot from Kentucky fans.
But still. We'll be back next year.
That's what I heard last year. That's what I heard the year before.
But we're still the greatest basketball school all the time.
Well, you know what I want you to do, Jeff?
I
want to be a preacher here on the eve of Good Friday.
You can't argue that fact.
I want you to keep the faith.
Let me tell you one fact, though.
You've already given me 15 inane and innocuous stats. Why not another one? Go ahead.
Okay. Kansas has the most wins in college basketball. They have 10 more than we do.
Oh, that's great.
But they also have 104 losses more than we do. So we're still the
Okay, Jeff. Jeff, you've convinced me. You have made a compelling...
I probably did, but
You've made a compelling argument of why Kentucky is the most important program in college basketball.
It is, and ask Hunter Dickinson. You know who he is, don't you?
Who was that again?
Hunter Dickinson from Michigan.
You know Hunter?
You know Hunter?
Randy doesn't know Hunter. Enlighten us.
Look him up.
I'll get around to it sometime. I tell you what, That was a compelling call right there. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Bless your heart, man. I feel for you sometimes.
Thank you.
So, wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Wanted to ask you about a couple of coaches that aren't coaching right now and what you think their prospects are. And then I wanted to speak to you briefly about a couple of inspirational books that I think, you know, Easter is a great time to look for inspiration. And I wanted to run a couple of books by you.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about Scott Frost and Jim Leonard and what you think their prospects might be next year.
Well, I think Jim Leonard, did he not get picked up by anyone?
No, he took the year off to have
the year off. Okay.
Took the year off to have surgery.
Oh, okay.
After I think
both
job.
Will ultimately get back in the game. I mean you're talking about a great offensive coordinator and a great defensive coordinator prospect.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Saban didn't reach out to Scott Frost, but you know, maybe you know, I don't know, but. But moving on to the books, Paul, a fictional book that's probably inspired me more in my life outside of any other, The Complete Works of The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis.
Mm.
And then a nonfiction book. I don't know if you've ever read it or seen the documentary, but I'll Push You by Patrick Day and Jason Skisuk. Have you seen that?
I have not, no.
I highly recommend the book and the documentary. It's about two men that go on the trek of the Camino de Santiago.
Hmm.
And Justin is confined to a wheelchair. And when he brings this up to Pat about, I wonder if this can do it, I can do it, Pat's immediate response is, I'll push you.
Oh, I see. That's great.
It's extraordinary. I highly recommend it to anyone that wants to, just see what true love and grace really is. Paul, I really appreciate your show. I hope you have a happy Easter season, and maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I hope so, Rick. Thank you very much. And those are some great suggestions there. We are here Good Friday, in case you were wondering. I know a lot of you are off, and you may want to do something else. But if you're by the TV or radio, check us out. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Paul, we have found a new Jeff to add to the list. I mean, you should have put a picture of a big old peacock.
That Kentucky fan was just not having any of my sensibility, was he?
You handled him with great gloves, but you should have put a picture of a big old peacock up. But that I'm not going to get sidetracked on Jeff. That's not why I called. You're having Hendon Hooker on, and I don't live far from him. Maybe an hour up the interstate beside Winston, but I would just like to take a minute, and maybe he's watching already before he comes on, but I would like to tell him how much I appreciate his past 2 years at Tennessee, considering how quarterback deprived we were the past couple years, and watching at Virginia Tech, and regardless of what happens in the NFL for Hendon, I just want to thank him for his effort and time at Tennessee, and I think he'll be just fine in the NFL, however it plays out. How about you, Paul?
I agree. Will, thank you very much. We are heading to the break. Hendon Hooker joining us in a little bit over an hour. If you want to get in, I look down, you could probably squeeze a call in now. It wouldn't be too long of a wait at 855-242-7285. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back. How about Hugh Freeze tomorrow on this program on the eve of the Auburn spring game? Let's get back to the calls. And it's been a quiet day so far. Other than the dude from Kentucky and talking about Mount Rushmore, it has been not a lot of contentious phone calls. You feel good, Randy? You feel everyone feel comfortable? Because the next guy I think is as soothing as a light Augusta breeze on a Masters Easter Sunday. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum, you want to listen to Nine Fishing Books, huh? You want to go by? You want that dude for Rick from Houston, huh? Hey, tell Rick to look at it. He got some books in the library. Tell him he's going to whoop on Jimbo Fisher and Lance Kiffin and Nick Saban. He got a book in the library. Say that, too. Huh?
I hear you.
You hear me, huh? You should have told that man the truth. He got other books in that library set of nonfiction gonna tell how we're gonna beat on them. Hey, look, another thing. The best thing Nick Saban had was that boy with that man, Lad Kiffin. Lad Kiffin was the best offensive coordinator he ever had, because Lad Kiffin, we got Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Mac Jones. That's the only thing. He got to find another. Tommy Reese ain't going to do nothing over there. Tommy Reese ain't on Lane Kiffin. Tommy Reese ain't on Lane Kiffin.
Dwayne, I'm not trying to be a psychiatrist here, but I will. There are certain things you seem to be really worried about when you talk about other schools. I'm concerned that you're really not that confident in LSU's offense.
Man, you crazy. Man, we got offense on this world, man. We're going to show you how that works. Hey, we're going to show you the real offense. We're going to show you offense out this world, man. Hey, Paul, you need to tell you about that on Good Friday. You need to stop smoking that stuff.
Well, you know what, Dwayne? I made a mistake. Forgive me. Dwayne has left the building. We will get Dwayne back someday soon, hopefully. How about Richard in Tennessee? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I would like to respond to the guy that calls himself expired. You know, A&M fans warned us how the Texas fans would be. Well, they were right. I don't know what kind of delusion he came from, but you know, the comments he made, it was last week, actually, that I heard. Of course, he's always running Alabama down. I don't know when Texas has beat Alabama in anything.
I think in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah. And the other thing, when he talked about Vanderbilt needs to be out of the conference, he needs to look at the times they've played Vanderbilt in sports, especially a few weeks ago. If I'm not mistaken, Vanderbilt baseball team beat Texas 12-2. So he needs to get his facts straight about things. And, of course, like I say, A&M fans warned us, and I've seen that. He's about the worst I've ever heard of some of his logic. But, of course, there's two main things comes out of Texas. One of them I won't mention. The other one is steers, and he ain't no steer.
I thought that joke was about Oklahoma. Maybe it's Texas. I don't know. Don is up next in Birmingham.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what happened with the women's basketball tournament.
Okay.
Jill Biden invited Virginia to come see, to the White House. Well, no sooner had the words got out of her mouth, and LSU and a bunch of people jumped on her and said, no, they can't go. They didn't win. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think Jill Biden ought to worry about whatever the first lady is in charge of and quit trying to be an ambassador of sports, because what she said was patently ridiculous.
Well, but what I'm saying is the only winners to be entitled to go.
Yeah, no, this isn't T-ball in 6 and under. This is college basketball's national championship. Winners go to the White House, losers go home.
I think that's a poor example for our.
Well, I understand the moment she was there and she was trying to emphasize that it was a great game, even though it really wasn't. LSU dominated the whole way. The fact she said, I'm going to talk to Joe, as if the president sitting around going, okay, he doesn't know what's going on in relation to inviting people. I mean, they tell him, Ms. President, it's at 2 o'clock today. We got the basketball team. We got the NBA. He doesn't know all that stuff. He's the president of the United States. He's got more important things to worry about, presumably, right?
Yeah. Well,
what that is, I don't know, but probably running for re-election. Disco is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Disco.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
How you
been doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Arkansas is going to be real, real good next year in basketball. I know for sure because they got some good recruits coming in. But football,
correct.
What do you think about football? What do you think about football?
There are, again, a preseason projection in basketball. It's preseason top 10. I think football is going to be okay. I'm really not positive. I thought last year they had a chance to win 9 games and was sorely disappointed. And we'll talk to Coach Pittman next week, and I'm really eager to hear how he feels. He's got maybe the best quarterback in the SEC. That's important. But what else does he have?
I heard that we got this guy from Georgia coming in, you know.
Well, he better get a lot of guys in, because last year they managed to really make some serious mistakes. We're up against a break. Hendon Hooker an hour away. Your phone calls coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.